This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled Isaiah, A Vision of Tomorrow, and is the second in our summer series.
Good morning. Do you like generous people? People who give their time, their talents, and their treasure to serve others? Well, I do, and I've always wanted to be generous, but throughout most of my life, I struggled with selfishness, and that had a big limit on my level of generosity. And then as an adult, what limited my generosity was that I was in debt most of my life until recently. So what I've discovered is that God wants us to be generous. It glorifies Him, and it also makes us more like Him. For example, He gave His only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. That's generous. Jesus took upon all the sins of the world so that we wouldn't have God's wrath on us anymore. That's generous. The Holy Spirit left heaven to enter into us and reside in us to guide us and direct us while we're here on earth. That's generous. So, I challenge you this morning to think about how is your level of generosity? Now, I've seen a lot of generosity in this church, but specifically with regard to finances. How many of you are still in debt and have that as a limiting factor to your ability to be generous? So in Financial Peace University, we're going to help you with that. We're going to help people get their finances in order with the goal of becoming debt-free and being able to be much more generous like the Lord wants us to be. So in 3 weeks, we're going to start our classes on August 7th. We have 6 people signed up so far. We have plenty more seats left. So if you're ready to get your finances in order and be able to be a lot more generous like you would like to be, then I'll look forward to seeing you in class. Thanks.
Our summer series this year is a profile of the prophets of the Old Testament. Our focus this morning is on Isaiah. And Isaiah has been considered the prince of prophets because he writes so much in God's word for us to be able to see. I'd like to share with you a vision of tomorrow that he had, but let me give you a little background into the book of Isaiah before we go. I find it interesting to make a comparison between the book of Isaiah and the entire Bible. And this is what I mean. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. The book of Isaiah is divided into two parts. The first part has 39 chapters, and the second part has 27 chapters. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament has 39 books and 27 books in the New Testament. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah covers history and the sinfulness of Israel, as does the Old Testament. The 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah covers the person and ministry of the Messiah. And those 27 books in the New Testament do just that. Both Isaiah and the Bible end with a description of a new heaven and a new earth. And Isaiah is the Old Testament book most quoted in the New Testament. I think there's a lot there. No wonder he's called Prince of Prophets. God has given him so much. There are 4 general topics that he expounds on in the book of Isaiah. And I'd like to give you an outline as to what they are. The first one is he concentrates on the attributes of God. God's holiness, God's eternal nature, God's faithfulness. One of the things he also does is he gives us clues to the Trinity. Take a look at this verse, Isaiah 48:16. The speaker says this, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I." This is a divine person speaking. This is Jesus Christ, the Eternal One, who was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit at creation. Now look, "And now the Lord God, Father God, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has sent me." We see the Son, we see the Father, and we see the Holy Spirit. One of the things I kept going over in our class with the teen group is the Trinity. And I shared this with them that I continue to share with you, that the Trinity is three persons in one, and in that unity they are distinct. God the Father, this is just shorthand. God the Father is the God you can't see. God the Son is the God who has been seen and will be seen again. And God the Holy Spirit is the God who lives inside of you. Those are three in one, and those are the distinct aspects of who they are. Second thing that Isaiah writes about is the Messiah. He's the one that gives us that verse 7:14 that speaks of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He's the one that goes extensively in Isaiah 53 to the crucifixion, gives us a picture that cannot be dismissed, that the Messiah is Jesus. Thirdly, he explores the end time prophecy that he gives about the tribulation, about those 7 years and the difficulties that will be experienced and the hardship that will come upon the earth. And the fourth thing he goes into that I'm going to share with you this morning is he talks about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year reign that Jesus is going to share on the earth. I call it a wonderful world tomorrow, and we'll get a chance to see what that's about. Isaiah 53 speaks to the awful devastation of the 7-year tribulation. 33 speaks to the tribulation that's coming to the earth. But after he speaks about the terrible tribulation, Isaiah 33:17 gives this description. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold that land that is very far off. He says, after the tribulation, the king is going to come and he's going to reign in his fullness. And there's going to be a land that he establishes on the earth. Here is a king who shall reign in all the splendor of his royalty. He shall reign in such a way that he will redeem Israel during a 1,000-year period. He's a God, a king who reigns over a vast area of land, a new heaven and a new earth. Listen to Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. When we get to this period of the 1,000-year reign, when we come back from that 7-year period we're going to spend in heaven and come down to earth and abide in this millennial reign, we're not even going to think about what you're experiencing right now. You're not going to want to remember what things were like prior to that period. Revelation 21:15-17 says it's a huge place that is coming down to earth. What Revelation 21:15-17 describes is heaven coming down to earth in the form of a cube. It describes a city that is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, and 1,500 miles long. If you were to take that cube and put it on a map of the United States, it would go from Canada down to Florida and from New York City west to Denver. Think of it. 1,500 square miles. It's going to be made of some pretty amazing stuff. The Bible describes what the walls alone are going to be made of. They're going to be made of the purest gold. It's going to be a beautiful place because there is set into that gold walls, diamonds, rubies, pearls, emeralds. Not because God is necessarily trying to show off how rich he is, but he wants us to live in something for 1,000 years that's absolutely beautiful. Remember, I've often said to you that God made this earth to be inhabited, but he didn't just make it to function. The Bible says that he adorned the earth. He wanted us to live in something that would support life, but he also wanted to put us in a setting where it was so beautiful that we'd stand in awe of his creation and just marvel. Don't you stand in awe of a sunrise? I mean, when you look at the sunset, aren't you taken back? If you ever get a chance to go out to California, it's an amazing thing to see the sun fall into the Pacific Ocean and be devoured by the horizon. A rainbow gets our attention. The Grand Canyon puts us in awe. All of these things, God said, I made the beauty of the earth for you to be blessed, functional, and beautiful. Isaiah 32:1 says, the king shall reign in righteousness. His reign is described as a time of blessing and justice, and it's put in kind of poetic terms here in Isaiah 32:2. It says, he shall be a hiding place from the wind. He's a covering from the storm. He's a river in a dry place. He's the shadow of a great rock in a hot desert land. Whatever it is that you need to feel the comfort of his presence, he wants to be that for you. And by the way, he doesn't just want to be that in a literal sense in the millennial reign. He wants to be those things to you today, right now, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He wants to be that hiding place when the storms of life come over. He wants to be the one that protects you from the winds of life and the storms of life. Isaiah prophesies that King Jesus will be the source of light in this new kingdom. Isaiah 60:19 says this, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee everlasting light and thy God glory. Now, if you're an artist, one of the things you look for is the right lighting. Even if you're a photographer, aren't you looking for the right lighting? I've heard stories about great artists, some of the great artists, who went to Rome because there's a special sunlight that's to be found in Rome. And so many painters went to Italy to capture that sun. But I want to tell you, as wonderful as that sun may be, and how wonderful it is to see it in portraits, to see it in paintings by the great artist, the sun that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shower upon us from himself is going to be more beautiful. It's going to be warmer. It's going to be more comforting to us than any daylight we can have now. It's actually going to put the sun, moon, and stars to shame. I don't know what that's going to feel like or look like because I've never experienced it, but I'm going to, and so are you. The citizens of God's holy city are going to be different from the citizens of the world today. Isaiah 4:3 says, it shall come to pass that all who are in the city shall be holy. Is anybody here holy? Don't look at me, man. I'm in the same boat as you. Look around and see the current events and see if you see any holiness out there. But the Bible says that when we abide in that city, there's going to be a spiritualness about that city and about us that's going to be just something we've never experienced. Sins are going to be washed away. We're going to be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more crime. Violence will be done away. Wars will cease. Fear will be banished. There'll be no godlessness in that city. I can't imagine what that would be like to live in. I've never experienced in my 73 years. You thought I looked more like 60. I gotcha. Isaiah 11:10 says this, that Jesus will be the banner under which all people will worship. Because of that, there will be world peace. Something the League of Nations try to accomplish, something the United Nations is trying to accomplish, but we will not be able to do world peace under our own initiative. We just can't do it. We've tried for such a long time. The 20th century was the bloodiest, most violent century in world history. And yet, that was a period when people were educated and enlightened and smart, but they couldn't stop wars. We look today, we stand on the brink of wars in so many different places. Under King Jesus' reign, Isaiah 30:29 says, ye shall have a song in the night and gladness of heart. Now, some of you are too young, I don't know how many of you are too young, to remember 1940s and 1950s musicals. Remember, they were always uplifting, people always smiled. Well, I'm not saying it's going to be like a 1940s musical, but I am saying you're going to have something to sing about. Isaiah 29:18 says, the deaf and the blind will hear and see. Isaiah 29:19 says, the lame and the mute will walk and talk. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get to that point, you won't need a walker. You won't need a walker. You won't need a wheelchair. You're not just going to walk, you're going to be able to run. Isaiah 33:24, the sick will be healed. There'll be no disease of body, no disease of mind, no disease of soul. This is a very idealistic, very beautiful, very wonderful world that God is going to create for us. Isaiah 29:24, learning disorders will be done away with. Knowledge will increase, the Bible says. Isaiah 29:22, the fearful will be unafraid. And Isaiah 52:11-12 says, prisons will no longer be necessary. No people being in prison for reasons they shouldn't be there. And no people being in prison for reasons they should be there, because there'll be no reasons for that. No crime. No tears. No poverty. No hunger. No corruption. No pollution. All of these things that we seem to have a heart's desire for. All of these things we see the world trying to make happen. And this is the desire that God's planted in your heart. All of these things were good things. God put these things in your heart so that if you understand we can't do that on our own, we can do that through Him, that we would turn to Him. This is a sign of His love, and this is a sign of His mercy. If you want that kind of a world with peace, then you're going to have to give your heart to Jesus Christ to experience that world, and it's going to come. It's going to be here. There will be material blessings, according to verse 23 and 26. No droughts. Good pastures for crops to grow on. There'll be plenty of food. There'll be clean water. There'll be clear air. There'll be no bottled water, no bottled oxygen. Isaiah 11:6-9 says this, and this is amazing, the animals will be tame. I was telling the kids, you can have your own lion if you want one. The wolves and the lambs will live together. The leopards and kids, goats, will lie down together. The calves and the lions will live together. Children will lead them. Man-eating animals will become vegetarians. Yeah, it says the lions are going to eat straw. So they're not going to have an appetite for you. For when you walk by them, then you're not going to appeal to be like a meal. You could be a friend. Children will handle poisonous snakes because they won't be poisonous anymore. Sounds like St. Patrick on the island of Ireland. Who will live in the millennial kingdom? Number one, those born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Number two, Hebrews 10:11-16 says, the Old Testament saints who faithfully look forward to Christ before his birth, they'll be there. And thirdly, Hebrews 12:22 says, the elect angels will be there. We're all going to live together for 1,000 years in perfect peace. It's kind of like a hint of what heaven's going to be like, because this will go on into eternity with heaven. And we're not just going to sit around on a cloud eating bagels with Philadelphia cream cheese. We're not going to have wings and do all that stuff. We're going to have a wonderful life to live in eternity, preceded by 1,000 years reigning with Jesus Christ to show us how it's really done when government is righteous and not corrupt. What will we experience? This is kind of a review. Holiness, a spirituality that's transcended anything we know. Beauty. You know, so many times beautiful things are corrupted. I will never forget the artist who took a crucifix and dipped it into a canister of urine and called it art. I'll never forget what the Brooklyn Museum put up as art when they had a picture of Jesus' Mother Mary, and he put elephant dung all over it and called it art. That's a distortion of everything that's beautiful. We have this tendency that we don't have to take things that are beautiful and make them dirty and destroy them. But all things that are meant by God to be beautiful and to be appreciated by you, he's going to restore, and they will be beautiful. Unity. We won't be talking about seeing the world come together and never seeing it happen. We will see it happen. Peace. World peace. Perfection. No flaws and no imperfections. No tears, no sickness, no pain, no death, no thirst, no hunger, no sin, no judgment, no fear, no failure, no disappointment, and no despair. No stress and no anxiety. That's the world that God is promising to give you. And the price of admission has already been paid by Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, you have a forwarding address. If you will put your faith and trust in him. And the question is, have you made your reservation? I'm going to heaven, not because I'm Bob. I'm going to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, the only perfect one. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did. Because the things I've done deserve death. The things that he's done save me from that. That's what I shared with Paul yesterday. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if he were to die in that hospital bed today, that the last breath of earthly air he'd take would be followed by the first breath of heavenly air. What about you? What about your family? What about the people closest to you? What about your acquaintances? The price has been paid for this wonderful new world tomorrow by Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make things right. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to help you live this life. Tell him you believe that Jesus is his only son. Tell God that you believe that Jesus died on that cross. Tell God that you believe that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and that he rose again. If you believe in that Jesus and you put your faith and trust in him, the Bible said, you will be saved. That's the heart of the gospel. And what about your friends and family? Would you like to see them in that millennial kingdom? Would you like to roam the 1,500 square miles of paradise when that day comes with your family? Well, then it's up to you and it's up to me to share it with my family and friends. I'm going to do my level best to make sure I get every friend I have and every family person. I want to be sure I can check their names off. I can't save them. Only God can do that. But God's commissioned me to tell them. The same for you. There is a wonderful world tomorrow if you're willing to receive Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We strive so hard to attain these attributes of joy and peace. We try so hard to experience the beauty of life, and somehow or another it eludes us. Somehow all the things that are supposed to bring us real joy and purpose and fulfillment don't seem to live up to standard. It just don't seem to cut it. We get the new car, it lasts for a while in our heads as an exciting new thing, and after a while we get used to it, and pretty soon we're looking to trade it in. There's only one thing that's going to live up to expectation. And that's the promise of our salvation and the promise of heaven. And so, Father, we would pray this morning that no one leave this place without being absolutely certain that they've received Christ as Savior and they know where they're going when they leave this place. We thank you, Lord, that you provided a wonderful world for us tomorrow. And we just can't wait. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Amwell Church of the Brethren will be offering Financial Peace University for 9 consecutive Tuesdays beginning August 7th at 7 p.m. at the Amwell Church of the Brethren. You can visit amwell.org for registration information.